You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 70 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Chair VP.
Junior Vice President.
No contract, no intro.
All right, and we are back, maybe for the last time, or at least the last time. With Comedy Central, we don't know. I'm Greg Rosenthal, of course, across the city from my buddy Anthony Jeselnik, world famous comedian who looks a lot like Ben Roethlisberger right now. The beard is getting wild. He's wearing sunglasses indoors. And if 69 episodes of JRVP have taught me anything, when Anthony puts on the sunglasses, the fire is ready to come out.
This was more, these sunglasses were more, I wanted to kind of, you know, praise On the Rocks. On the Rocks gave us a lot of bottles of On the Rocks. So many bottles that my doorman like gave me a look when I picked them up, like, really, man? As if I ordered them for myself. And then they gave us a polo shirt, which I have worn, I know, and sunglasses, several pairs of sunglasses. So I put them on to rep, to represent On the Rocks, which I'm also representing in my mouth. I poured a bottle of the margarita for our... This is episode 70. This is like a celebration. And probably the end of an era. We'll see. Will there be more eras? You fucking know there's going to be more eras. We're going to have so many eras, you're going to puke. But this is the end of one. This is episode 70, end of season two.
Ooh, yeah, we are lousy with eras. If I had known that, I should have poured myself a glass while we're... Well, we're talking, maybe like when Erica's talking, our producer, of course, Erica Tamposi, he'll be, have her own corner a little bit later in the show. Maybe once she's talking, I'll just go and get a drink or something like that.
That's really respectful to Erica. Erica, of course, is trashed, driving around the city in a van, producing the podcast, as is her wont. It's just a... It's the timing of everything is very interesting. The timing of the pandemic has destroyed Comedy Central, ruined them, and me in a way. And listen, people have real problems. Greg's got two kids, you know, so I'm not going to complain about life. But I can announce this now. I'll announce it to all our listeners. We're waiting a little bit, but Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik, like my Comedy Central show, has been canceled. We got delayed. We were 2 weeks away from production. We had the guest booked. We had the scripts written. I had been fitted for custom suits. We had the stage. We had everything ready to go. And then this pandemic hit, and it was like, oh, we're pushing it off. And then everything just got canceled. It's not just my show. There's a lot of other shows that have gotten canceled, too, because of this. And it's just money. It's bad timing and money. I know it wasn't anything I did wrong, or that the show wasn't, you know, as good as it could have been. Everyone felt bad about getting rid of the show. And I'm not even mad. Trust me, I have been mad at Comedy Central before. If you look at the the credits for Thoughts and Prayers, I name executives. I name the executives that I hated at Comedy Central in the credits of Thoughts and Prayers. That will not be happening going forward. I'm not mad. I feel bad for everyone. It would be like, I don't feel like I'm being made to walk the plank. I feel like the boat is on fire. And everyone in the crew is either already dead or puking off the side. You know, I'm not going to get mad at the captain when the captain is dead on fire and purely miserable. So I'm not mad. I'm not going to yell at the logo, but it does suck. We're trying to sell the show elsewhere. I do not know if we will be able to. You know, we have things going for us, things going against us. But if not, I love doing the show so much. I love the people that I worked with. That's the thing I really feel bad about, are people who lost their jobs and you know, we're relying on that paycheck and enjoying the show. So, Good Talk is no more, which I would think that might affect my negotiations for season 3 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
Greg, you got to get on the stick.
See, I was perfect. I think I'm delayed. You're like breaking up a little bit. I said it.
It's like you don't understand how timing works. It's like if I threw you a baseball and you let it hit you in the face and then caught it.
I said it the second after you said it. It's something called a delay. I don't know if you've watched any television over the last, 6 months, and people are stepping on each other because people are 2 seconds behind. It happens here. We're doing our best in the pandemic.
Erica's on point. I'm on point.
Well, her internet is probably better today or something because we're on a delay. Yeah. Although, I did get this. It's a little early for notes, but my parents say we sound more relaxed than ever. They are loving the JRVP inside the pandemic.
I had a good joke, but I forgot it. Well, you started rambling about your parents. You know what it was? I was going to say, we're on a delay, Greg, but your excuses are right on time.
that was worth bringing back.
Wait,
do you get
around
to keep the custom suits?
I don't know. I have not heard. I don't know if I'm getting paid. I don't know what happens. So we're trying to figure it out. I wouldn't be surprised. The network, it's like a fire sale. I feel so bad for everyone who's there. I didn't even get a phone call. I got three emails. One person I emailed, they emailed me back. And then I got two other emails that I was like almost surprised that
about what?
That's just about like, oh, sorry about Good Talk. We love the show. Hopefully it finds a home somewhere else. And I understand it's a pandemic. It's a pandemic and a merger combined. Things are going away. Comedy Central will not be Comedy Central in 6 months. The writing was on the wall when Your Two Dads went away. Yeah. If a behemoth like Your Two Dads can't make it in this business, can't get a second season, then what chance does a TV show like Good Talk that had great guests and was going to be even better? That's the one of the major bummers, is I was so excited about some of the stuff we were going to get to do that it's a shame. And hopefully we come back. People are going to need entertainment. We have it all written. We've got it all booked. We can do it easily. It's just who's going to want to take on a show that's already been on the air, but I hope someone does, and if not, I hope we get to do a version of it, because I really did love it. But again, no anger at Comedy Central. I just feel bad for all of you. I feel so bad for everyone who's still working there, and most of the people we've referenced on this show do not work there anymore. Most of the vast majority of the people, like, we could not name the people who are in charge, except for Jeremy Westfall.
Yeah, he's been strong throughout. I mean, a merger is one thing. It's already going to be a problem. A merger in pandemic, that's a merge-demic. That's going to be a bigger problem.
I don't get it. What's a merge-demic?
Or a pandermer? I don't know. I mean, it's something that's unforeseen. I mean, we're early in this merge-demic, if you think about it. That's the thing. They canceled your show, which sucks. I bet when things start opening up, that's the type of programming people are gonna be looking for. Stuff that's repeatable, that can like last forever on whatever platform that they're on. The tough thing, and I'm obviously Comedy Central is dealing with, is like, who knows when shows are gonna be taping again? Shows, movies, sporting events, live audiences. It's like when you have such an indefinite timeline to be working with, I don't know, there's just it's putting a lot of like middle managers and managers like in a position they've never been in. What are they gonna do?
Yeah, but I think that once it comes back, it's gonna come back quickly. Like, people don't know when. It's gonna take a long time, so no one can really plan anything, but they know that we are going to need stuff when it happens. So,
but they're gonna have to figure out like how to work with people, maybe social distancing or whatever. Like, it's going to have to be different. At least yours didn't have a studio audience, which helps. But there's going to be a lot of crazy work rules that are being put in, potentially, if you listen to our governor, until there's some sort of therapeutic help for this, which could be
a
year
from now. That's why my show's perfect. But I honestly don't expect to be doing stand-up for a year. I don't expect I'll be getting on stage doing stand-up for a year. This show could come back sooner. A show could come back sooner. But it's going to be a lot of podcasting. And if we could get to a point where we could come back and do it at my house and not have to do it remotely, I would love that. Because I do not like this as much.
I think that would be. I think that would be fine. And yeah, to that point for JRVP, I mean, don't you think there's, you know, I think there's a chance here we're back up and running sooner than later. So our listeners who have been, you know, tweeting at us saying how much they appreciate the pandemic content, we could be back soon.
We're going to keep doing it. We might take a week or two off. I'm not doing episodes for free and hoping the contract works itself out. I know. We have an offer with Comedy Central. We're still negotiating with them. It is a possibility, however remote. But I've talked to some other. I've had some other conversations this week with friends of mine, places we can go. So don't worry, you will be getting episode 100 plus probably. I'm thinking long haul. You know, if I can't go do stand up, if I can't make a fucking TV show, then why not? Why not keep doing this podcast? Maybe do it. You know, we've been doing it once a week. Maybe five times a day. What do you guys think about that?
Pull the rope. I mean, I'm down. I hate to be, you know, like some profiteering company here who's actually making out better in the pandemic. But yeah, if we're doing more JRVPs, that's great for your godchildren, Ellis and Walker. Sign me up.
Yes. Yeah, they need to go to college somehow. so yeah, did anything else interesting happen this week to you guys?
No, I mean, we had the NFL draft. Did you watch that at all?
I honestly did. I haven't watched the draft in so long, but I watched the entire thing because that's how starved I am for entertainment. Well, I've watched the draft, and I've watched that Bulls documentary over and over and over again.
I'm into the Bulls documentary now. I'm all about it. The draft was great. It was good to like. It was like a week and a half of like kind of cramming. I got way more into it than most years, probably because we just haven't like had any live sports forever. So it scratched that itch. I would have liked to see though. You know, they showed Roger Goodell at his house. You know, a lot. That was pretty much the whole draft. It would have been a great spot to use the Goodettes. Is what I thought.
I noticed a couple Goodettes because they had like, on this like screens behind them. I thought it was weird that it was like clearly pre-taped. No one is reacting in real time to either his announcement or that they're on screen. Someone just pointed a camera at them and just said, "All right, cheer and boo," and that's all they did. And then before every announcement, he would turn towards the screens and be like, "Come on, come on, you can do better than that." Boom, and like asking them to boo him in like the most lackluster way ever. It was. It showed, I guess, a softer side of him.
Yeah.
But I was surprised. I
liked it. He could have broken out his DJ equipment. I thought would have been like a nice touch. You know, of course, longtime listeners to the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project, RJVP, will remember Roger Goodell's DJing ability. Maybe we should bring him back for this last episode of on Comedy Central.
I don't know. I feel like he's above Comedy Central. I feel like we're all above Comedy Central right now. I thought it would have been funny if every time they cut back to Roger Goodell, he was just screaming right into the camera, "Stop booing! Stop it! Stop booing from home!" Like he knew it was happening, but he couldn't hear it. I think that would have been if he just it was getting like having more and more of a meltdown. Like if commissioners had a meltdown every time they got booed, sports would be 10 times more popular. It's a fact.
Other than that, though, you know, we're in this routine of what's going on at the Rosenthal house. It's a lot of biking. It's some homework. It's fine. It's been okay. We feel very lucky. I will miss if this is it for Comedy Central though. I'll miss the sneakers most of all. You know, they send me nice sneakers on my birthday. I've definitely never had a job that's ever done that.
They sent me. They asked. they asked for my address. They're like, "We have a perishable to send to Anthony." And I'm always surprised at Comedy Central when they ask for my address. Like, you don't have my address. Like, how do you not have it? You've sent me things before. You'll send me things again. So every once in a while, they're like, "What's your address?" And it was a bunch of like four different steaks.
Ooh.
It was four, and I was just like. Kind of, yeah. Like, do I love steak? Yes, I do. Have I ever cooked a steak in my life? No, I have not. Do I own any of the things that I need to cook a steak? Maybe one of them to, like, get the job done if I, like, had to. But I'm just, it's so funny to me when someone gets me a present, it's just so far off base. Like, every year on Christmas when they're like, "Here's a Nintendo Switch." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, video games. You know how I love those." Like, I don't understand why they don't just get me leather jackets and On the Rocks.
On the Rocks knows what to get you. He takes another sip. I mean, the sunglasses do look, they do look good.
They're better than like most of the sunglass brands you get.
They're not bad.
If you need sunglasses, On the Rocks brand sunglasses are super dope.
It is nice to see you're not like angry at Comedy Central, because I do remember you sort of infamously broke the news of your last show ending with Comedy Central by like leading a group of audience members like to chant F Comedy Central at like one of your stand-ups.
It was fuck you Comedy Central, and that got blown out of proportion because like I remember the head of Comedy Central got annoyed. He was like, "What is this?" to my manager, and she was like, "He's on stage like doing a sold out show in New York during a comedy festival. He announces it, the crowd starts booing, and then he's just like, yeah, fuck Comedy Central." Like, I wasn't that angry as much as it was like, yeah, this is, I'm on stage doing this. But this time, like when they emailed me my manager told me, I got in touch with the head of Comedy Central and I was just like, I'm not mad about this. Like, I understand your days are just making awful phone calls. I understand a pandemic and a merger. Again, if this had happened 2 months later, we would have had a TV show. Like, I probably would have gotten canceled. I assumed this would be our final season, season two. And podcasting, Comedy Central never knew what the fuck they were doing in the podcast game. Was Jeremy a big step up? Absolutely. But they dipped their toe in the water and then immediately drowned in the water. But who knows? Maybe they keep it going.
Well, maybe you work again with Comedy Central, don't you think?
They had to kill one of the dads. No, like honestly, I don't. The way everyone's talking, I don't think I ever work for Comedy Central again. I don't think there will ever be a Comedy Central again.
What about in like? Well, who knows? What if in 5 years? I don't know. Yeah, who can tell the future?
That's how it was. That's how it's funny when the Just on the Offensive got canceled, the head of Comedy Central called me and he was like, maybe in like 3 years, you know, we get back together and we figure something else out. And I was furious. I was like, 3 years? You're kidding me? It wasn't like they were like, hey, let's make a holding deal right now and figure out the next show. It was like 3 years. And I was so insulted by that. And that's exactly what happened. It was like 3 years almost to the day that like we started doing it again that I was like, oh, okay. But this, the way everyone's talking, it's like the school is closing. Like the teachers are just like try to learn at home, but we're not going to be here. Like, it's just going to be gone. It's just not the. It's not
that's
what
basically
it was.
That's basically what our schooling is going on right now, which is fine.
Yeah, but I don't think I'll ever be like everyone I know from Comedy Central is gone. I don't know. I couldn't name you more than one person now.
Did it make you want to? Get back into TV? Like, would you want to do TV again? Because you sort of, for a while, are thinking more, you know, stand-up sort of how you make your bread and butter, but...
I really, truly loved doing this TV show that I was doing, that I want to do a version of that. I don't know if I would do, like, any old TV, but I really enjoyed doing the show, and I think it showed that if I can do that again, great. And everyone, you know, from the staff is on board with that if we can figure it out. So... I'll be on TV again, and I got to assume my skills will be useful once this is all over. You can point a camera at me, throw some sunglasses on me, give me a margarita at 4 p.m, and just hit record, and I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something, and that was, did we get any notes? And now it's time for
ad copy.
You guys aren't going to believe this. The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project is brought to you by On the Rocks Cocktails. On the Rocks Cocktails is a premium bottled cocktail brand. I'm drinking one right now. I'll let you guess which size it is once I get to the sizes. You've heard us talk about how OTR is helping us survive the quarantine. With award-winning mixologists created all-natural, ready-to-serve drinks. You don't have to mix it. You don't have to stir it. You don't have to shake it. You just put some ice in a glass, pour this stuff over it, and then put it in your mouth. On the Rocks has been crafted for your enjoyment without the hassle. The hassle of stirring. The hassle of using a straw. Think about what that's like. Okay? People are in Corona tents right now trying to breathe through a straw. And you want to waste one? You want to waste a straw our nurses could be using? But with your drinks? No. Drink it like a man with a glass with your hand. And leave the straws alone. The gourmet ready to serve drinks include your favorites like the old fashioned, margarita, Mai Tai, and the cosmopolitan. I got a margarita going on right now. You can buy them in single serving 100 milliliter bottles, or you can get the Jesselnik size 375 milliliters. Share it with a friend is what it says here. But it's like, I got to think that's a wink. Visit ontherockscocktails.com or follow them on Instagram at OTRCOcktails and let On The Rocks bring the bar to you. And that was...
ad copy.
Last time we'll be doing this. Erica, are you going to join us on whatever the new version is?
Hey, if y'all have me, I would love to.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. We'll leave it up to the listeners.
Oh, great.
We'll let the listeners vote and see if they want to kill Erica or they want to make Erica the star of the show and let me take a backseat. That'll be what that's about.
The Coach T contingent might be vocal.
You know? I wonder what Coach T's doing as Coach T now that your two dads exploded. You know, I wonder what Coach T is doing now. Maybe Coach T had a kid and now it's three dads. Mm. He's like a transformer. He's always evolving. I just don't know if he's even there anymore. Like, who's in that studio now?
Well, no one's in building. What are they doing?
But after when this comes back, like is VH1 still doing stuff over there? Who knows? That's what I want to know.
When you were reading your ad, I was thinking, I wish Ellis was older. Like I would text her right now to see, like, how old do you have to your kid have to be to ask them to pour you like an On The Rocks cocktail?
I'm gonna go ahead and say 21.
No, I think
they won't do it
six,
then.
They
wouldn't
seven
do
is
it
good.
Then. They wouldn't do it then.
Yeah, I'm sure On The Rocks isn't like, I hope they work the kids into this. You know, Anthony's been funny, but if they could get the kids...
I'm not saying I wanted her to have it. I'm just saying, like, I can't leave right now. You're making me want one with your great salesmanship.
You can go get one. This is our last... This could be our last episode. Like, there's a chance we never do another podcast. There's a chance.
It's not much. Come on. Don't get the people down. People already are, you know.
No, but there is a chance.
They're already losing hope, Anthony.
If you told me it was 10%, a 10% chance we never came back, I would think that was high. But yes. I would believe it. So go get your On The Rocks. Let me talk to Erica.
Hey, Anthony.
What's up, Erica?
How's it going? You look really cool in your OTR shades.
Thank you. I'm feeling cool in my OTR shades. They are dope. Future's so bright.
Right? And,
you know what I mean? How's working in the NFL right now?
It's good. I'm working at least. We'll see if there's a freaking season. That'll probably change things. But
do you worry about getting laid off if there's no season?
Yeah, I get nervous. But so far so good. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
So yeah. Are you nervous?
No, never. I'm just like, I'm good. I'm in a good place, but I just want things to start coming back. I'm excited to see. Like, I think the thing that I end up doing after this, I haven't heard about yet. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, I think things are changing so much, and things are going to keep changing that I'll probably end up doing something that like doesn't exist right now. But I think it's cool. So I'm looking forward to the future, and hoping to get through this coronavirus with my sanity.
Mm.
Like the other day, I got up. I had taken a nap and I woke up and I was like, oh, it's like late. I'll stay up for a little bit, watch some TV, read the newspaper, and it's not getting dark out. And then I realized that it was 9 in the morning.
Oh my God.
At night. Yeah.
How do you just realize that? Do you not look at your phone? You don't look at the time?
I looked at my phone and just assumed this must be nighttime, must be early evening.
When did you wake up today?
So much.
I'm back. When did you wake up today?
I got up really early and then was up for a few hours and then went to sleep for a few more hours.
Yeah, you seem to be on a very, very strange schedule. You sent an email,
at
9:45 that, seemed confused about the day.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't in the beginning of this. I wasn't sleeping at all. And now it's all I do. And I love it because it's like, I never feel like I wasted my time. It's like, oh, great. I got to avoid some of this. So now let's take it down to our final... Comedy Central placed Erica's Corner. And maybe final, who knows? You know, we could get hit by a meteor right True. Now. And this will be the last episode. You wouldn't even get to hear it. So we don't know. This might be the end. But we love our producer, Erica Tamposi. And we like to carve her out a little section for herself called Erica's Corner. Erica, shine on.
Time changes all they're saying, but you still caught up playing hard. Though I'm on God, it's all for not, I'll end up caught and praying.
Cool. So Sean asks, I have a question as old as time for you. In a fight to the death, how many 9-year-olds would it take before you succumb? So a few parameters here. They're coming a few at a time every 30 seconds. These are white suburban kids. Also, no developmental issues, parentheses, so no super strength or anything. And picture a large boxing or MMA ring as the setting.
Okay, Greg, you want to go first? How many emails
do
you think you could take?
I want you to go. See, I mean, I don't like the fact that they said white. Like, what is it? What does that have to do with it?
Or I got
no
it.
No developmental
like
issues.
Suburban kids. You well, know, that, they're not like they're not coming from the boxing gym and coming straight to fuck you up. I thought when I first read this, I thought it was one at a time every 30 seconds. And then I was like, oh, I would shine. I would rock this thing because I would just wait by the ropes, and as soon as they came in, flying knee right to the head. Like, do I have to kill each kid?
I think
no,
so.
And I assume, like, so the ones, if you can dispatch them within 30 seconds or at least, like, knock them out or whatever, they can still come back later. Like,
yeah, fight to the death.
Yeah, they can still, you know, a minute later, 5 minutes later, they come to, and then suddenly they got 10 of their friends, they can join in.
Then I'm John Wicking it. Then I'm killing, making sure everyone's dead right off the bat. Like, they get in the ropes. I snap their necks. Oh, I pick them up and, like, slam them head first. No, I couldn't do a 9-year-old's bigger than you'd think. I would just try to grab one as soon as they got in the ring and then immediately kill them. Like, kill them right away and then just kill as many as I can. And then at one point, I think my last hurrah, my Davy Crockett, my Daniel Boone moment, would be I'd pick up one of the little kids by his feet and swing him around in a circle and take out as many kids as I could that way. And then if they get me then that's fine. But I would like I would say that I could probably, if I had to put a number on it, I would say I could kill, gun to my head, I could kill 29-year-olds, I think. And that's like,
not if
I'm breathing heavy. If they're coming like two or three at a time, every 30 seconds.
Well, I didn't realize.
I can kill a 9-year-old in 30 seconds.
Yeah, but multiple? What if one jumps on your back or something?
Do you think these kids are going to be scared? It's not like they're on meth.
I mean, what's your killing move?
The head slam. You know what I mean? I would grab them by the neck, pick them up as hard as I could, and then try to like break their neck or hit their head so hard into the ground that they died.
Did they know it's a fight to the death? So they know that they have to kill you or else they die.
Yes.
So they're coming in that strong.
Yes, but then I could strangle some kids with like my legs. You know what I mean? I hold like strangle one kid with a leg, and then you forget how like easy, how kind of weak 9-year-olds are. I think I could get through. I would say 20 would be my over under. Greg, what do you think?
And I would welcome it. How weak I am.
If I knew I was going to die of cancer, I would try to make this happen. I would try to die fighting 9-year-olds, as many as I could.
Oof. I mean.
Like, you know how in movies when, like, kids get possessed or something, like, the alien possesses them, and it's like, you're killing these kids, and at the end they make it all magical that you didn't really kill them? But I always think it's hilarious when they're killing kids just because they got the devil in them.
Yeah. I mean, you said it, 9-year-olds are stronger than you think. So that's third grade. There's some girls in Ellis's grade who are almost my height already. In second and third grade, there is going to be at least a handful of badass third graders who are fairly strong. And I guess I need to come up with a killing move. I'm feisty. I'm scrappy. I've been through more than these kids. Like, I'm going to be tougher, but I think I'm going to run out of time. I think I'm going to run into like at least one in every 10 kids is going to just be a pretty strong kid. So I think once we get to about 7 or 8, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I would say your over-under would be 10. I'd be surprised if you made it there. But you do agree that I would kill twice as many kids as you.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I mean, maybe I'll do some studying. I mean, if you can come up with the one classic move, it's like, You know, I think it's like Mortal Kombat. It's like if they can't stop that move, then forget it.
I'd kick him in the head, and then when my leg's still up, I would kind of get their neck in between that, like, right behind my knee. You know what I mean? And then strangle them like that, and then just kind of fall to the ground.
Are they all boys or girls, or it's a mix?
A mix, I guess.
I imagine boys. But I imagine you're not getting girls into this.
Because when I go, you know, pick up Ellis, there's always, you know, kids are always fighting by then. There's always a couple that are mean by then and that they're ready. It might only take one of them to take me down.
Well, especially if they're coming multiple at once. Like, I don't think you get the surprise attack either. I don't think I'm hiding behind something and get to pluck 9-year-olds. I think if a couple at a time are running out right at me, like, I would hope to outsmart them, but I don't know how long it could last.
No, Erica's not going to last. She's not.
And I also couldn't kill a kid.
Oh, like, you know, remember in Walking Dead when, like, the one woman was kicking everybody's ass and then she saw the dead kids and just laid down and let them all kill her? I was like, you dumb bitch.
Yeah.
I was like, this is your time to shine. I would have no problem doing this. I would welcome the challenge. And I feel like just kids don't understand the cruelty that adults have. Like, yes, yeah, a kid can call you a name, but would the kid know to go right for the eye?
Right.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
I'm going for the eye immediately. I'm going to have a kid by the ear. I'm going to be slamming their heads together. You know, like cartoon style.
Like, I have more to fight for. I have more to fight for. I have children myself. I have a family. Like,
but I've been preparing my whole life for this.
No, I'm not saying me versus you. I'm saying me really versus the 9-year-old. Like, what is the 9-year-old really fighting for? He thinks he can fight hard, but he's going to stop short ultimately. And he's going to cry. 9-year-olds ultimately are crybabies. They're going to
cry. What if the audience is filled with those 9-year-old's parents? Does that change how you do it?
Like the audience listening to our podcast, or
the parents of the kids? Like we're in an arena full of the families of the 9-year-old kids who are coming in to fight us.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to embrace it. Like I like the idea of being a heel, kind of like you. I think I'm wired in that way. If I'm in like a till the death competition, like I want a crowd that's gonna fire. I'm better with the crowd. I would, you know, hold up their, you know, kids' heads to the crowd and, like, you know, make little faces and throw it at them and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
I think I think it would be a lot like Rocky IV, where I would want to be like Ivan Drago, and then I'd want every kid to come into the ring entering like Apollo Creed, where he's got to do the James Brown dance and wear like a full like patriotic costume like Uncle Sam. He's got to come to the ring, and then I just kill him immediately. I kill him immediately, and then my post fight interview is, if he dies, he dies. And I just do that 20 times. I think that's an event that I
hate. I mean, they'd have it coming to them at that point. You know,
yeah,
cocky little 9-year-olds like
trying to show me up. If you die, you die. You know what I mean? This is my chance in America. You should have trained harder, Apollo. You never should have taken this fight in the first place. Throw the damn towel. Throw it. Okay. Do we have a comment of the week?
We do. From Saturday, you're the best. JRVP is the air I breathe. Thank you, Anthony, Greg, and Erica. You make life better. Your genuine dynamic and enjoyment taping the podcast comes across. Praying you are able to keep the weekly episodes coming. XX. 5 stars.
That's a nice one. We're going to see what we can do. And again, we don't know. We could be back next week. We could be back in a month. I don't know how long things are going to take to negotiate. I don't know if we'll be back at Comedy Central for one more season, or if we'll go somewhere else for another season or two. This could go forever. And I believe that if you are subscribed to the podcast, that it keeps coming, but I don't know. I think that happened with RJVP. So follow us on social media if you can. I know I'm on Twitter. Greg and Erica, I believe, are on Twitter too. They're on other things, but we will try to come back and try to let everyone know when we're back. But hopefully it'll just show up.
Yeah, unlike season 1 to season 2, where we knew we were going to have like a long layoff, I'm encouraged to hear, Anthony, you want to get back to it as soon as you can.
So what the fuck good. Else we got to do? We got nothing else to go. I mean, I could use a little break for sure, but we got nothing else to do. It's not like I've got...
What are you going to do with that break? What are you going to do with that extra hour a week?
Just not. I mean, I feel like these start to get stale toward the end. I could use a little like creative refreshment and like remember what I liked doing about this in the first place, and that was
yikes.
And that was
Erica's Corner.
What I liked doing about this show in the first place, and that is
comment of the week.
Ad copy.
Yes. My favorite part about doing it, my favorite part of doing this show, and that is
ad copy.
JRVP is brought to you by Harry's. Now is not the time to overpay for razors at the drugstore. Now is not the time. You find a different time, all right, to overpay for razors at the drugstore. It's in the early morning, all right. We don't have time for that. Harry's ships directly to you. So you can experience the quality of a Harry's shave in just a few days from the convenience of your own home. You see people outside shaving in the streets, it makes me sick, okay? You see little kids shaving in puddles, all right? It makes me weep for them. Shave in the convenience of your own home, please. Harry's is a return to the essential, quality, durable blades at a fair price. Just $2 a blade. If you had told me $2 a blade, I would have slapped you in the I would have called you a liar. I would have slapped you across your smooth face and said, that's way too little. That's way too little money. They've cut out the middleman. I think that's how they get the savings. The razor middlemen, they're dead. They manufacture blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. You know, the Germans, if they've been doing something for a century, it's got to be good. Which means you get incredible high-quality blades at factory-direct prices. Harry's is super convenient. Blade refills delivered directly to your door on schedule with or without a subscription. Who gets a subscription to razors? You don't need it. Maybe I'm thinking of prescriptions. You don't need that either. Hey, doc, I'm not seeing 2020. Get me a razor. Make sure it's out of Germany or I don't even want to see that crap. Listeners to JRVP can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/vanity. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip. When did ergonomic become like the de rigueur term? I see it everywhere. 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. Rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated. Your skin dries out. You might as well be shaving with something that was made out of sand if it's not hydrated. And that's they don't make razors out of sand for a reason. All right, I'll let you guess. And travel blade cover, keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/vanity. Start shaving better today. And that was
ad copy.
Oh, feels good, Greg. Let's get to headlines one last time on this one last network.
All right, let's start in North Korea, where Kim Jong-un may be dead, or maybe not. I've really been delighted by the reports over the last week or so that maybe he's dead. Maybe the leader of one of the nuclear leaders of the world, North Korea, might have lost their dictator, or maybe not. Like, depends on who you trust. No one can quite figure it out, but no one's seen Kim Jong-un.
I always think I just think it's really funny when dictators and people like this, and I'm not, this isn't a Korean thing, this is like a dictator thing, that like dying is the most pussy move you can do. if he's dead, they have to lie about it. And have to find some way to say later on that he just like ascended into heaven because only little bitches die. It just kills me. And they don't like, they just keep showing the same picture of him. He's never once been healthy in his whole life. He looks like hell.
Fair.
And they don't say what he has done. What it was. Was it a stroke? Was it a heart attack? Was it corona?
There are reports that the later this goes on that are saying, no, he's actually alive. You know, but there's nothing verified. There was a Japanese report from a news source that said he was in a coma. One said he was full on dead. Another thought maybe he has COVID that he's got the Rona, and they're just keeping him behind bars. Some people think maybe he just had like a minor surgery or plastic surgery or whatever it is. But like North Korea's not really saying much of anything. They're not showing him. They were supposed to have some big nationalist, like huge celebration, and he didn't show up for that. And everyone knew something was crazy then. But like, there's no one knows.
Yeah, it was like his grandfather's birthday. That's like a big event. I mean, those people, like in North Korea, if like someone dies and you don't like cry enough, you go to jail. Like you have to go out there and be like, oh no, the president or whatever the fuck, and like cry your eyes out, or else you're in trouble. That it's crazy he was not there. I just can't believe they can't try to fool the public a little better. They just don't show him, or like show an old picture and be like, see, here he is. You know, we'll get a guy who looks like him from behind and right. Be like, look, there's our leader. He's walking. Oh, he can't take questions right now. Like, they're so bad at this. We've got like three fake Melanias, and they can't get one fake Kim Jong-un.
Well, one report stated that he went into surgery for a relatively routine surgery where, they put like a stent in. You know what that is? You know,
yeah, like for your heart?
Right, in your heart. And that this is where it's just probably nonsense, but that the surgeon was so nervous doing Kim Jong-un surgery that like his hands were shaking and he totally like fucked up the stent, and now
that's such a thing. It would like it couldn't be his fault that he died. It was someone else was so scared to be in his presence that he accidentally killed him. Like they would never be like, oh yeah, he had an aneurysm. It's got to be some like way metaphysical thing that I always just think is funny.
I just always
think it's funny.
I mean, you would never want to wish, ill, but this guy, he's done a lot of bad things in his life.
Why would you not wish ill on this guy?
Okay, I would.
Why would you not wish ill on? He's one of the most evil people.
Well, I don't want him to come after us. He got, you got the whole Seth Rogen movie shut down. So that,
yeah, but then I was rewatching Team America World Police, and he didn't have the internet for that one.
Yeah,
that's way more.
But if you were gonna,
he's an evil person.
Root for him to
the Castro of the North,
right, to be gone. I am kind of intrigued that his sister is supposedly the most likely person to climb to power. Like, who saw
why,
that
what,
coming?
Why are you intrigued by that? Because you think that she's like going to be like a benign ruler, or you think she's going to be cool, or you think she's going to be like bloodthirsty Lady Tiger style and fuck us all up?
I just think it'll be intriguing. You know, it's this culture that's not used to having this crazy male dictator in charge. And, like, who knows? Maybe she poisoned him.
But you don't know what's going on with that family. Like, Kim Jong-un had a brother who was assassinated a couple years ago because he escaped the country with a fake passport because he wanted to go to Euro Disney. Like, they are either like, I'm gonna kill my own uncle with an airplane machine gun that should not be used for people, that should be used on airplanes. I'm gonna shoot my uncle with it in front of a bunch of people. Or they're like, how can I get to Euro Disney? I don't care what embarrassment it incurs on me. I need to get to Euro Disney. You don't know what you're getting with this family. So I'm very excited to see if this woman's like, she could be cool. She could be like, let me show you my Hello Kitty collection. Or she could be like, death to America and destroy us all. Like, we don't know. We don't know what we're getting.
It's like, save your money, CNN, on all of your international experts. Just bring in the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Jeremy P.
Junior Vice President.
We'll tell you what's up.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. I'm very excited about it. I'm excited about this and fighting 9-year-olds. But if he is dead, you got to get it together, North Korea. You got to get it together. I see the fire
in me. All right, our next headline is from our former college, our university, Tulane. A lawyer is defending charges that the leading scorer of the Tulane basketball team killed someone last week. Yes, the leading scorer of the Tulane basketball team has been charged.
The men's basketball team.
Yeah.
Tulane men's basketball.
For murder. Is it Tayshaun Hightower? He has a lawyer who says he didn't pull the trigger. He's trying to put it on his brother, which we'll see if that works or not. But yes, the leading scorer of the Tulane basketball team, it was the top story on ESPN, has been charged with murder in Georgia.
Where did he? So it wasn't in New Orleans. So we wouldn't know the bar.
It was not. Just, no, Miss Mays is closed, but right now. But yes, it is.
I'm just surprised about people like killing anyone during the Rona.
Yeah,
you know, it just seems like you don't have other stuff going on. You got to go get yourself a murder rap. The way you want to go to jail right now? I don't know. You think he did it?
No, I mean, go Green Wave. You know, he wouldn't want to throw his life away here. Apparently, there was like six people present, and they've all been subpoenaed and are mentioned in this case. But yeah, they believe that the Tulane player was the one who did it.
I agree with Greg. Go Green Wave. It's always funny to me too when athletes get into crimes like this, because like, motherfucker, you know you're getting recognized. You know they're gonna pick out the leading scorer of the Tulane basketball team if he's the one shooting the gun. It's insane to me. It's an automatic gotcha when you're how tall is he? 6'8"?
6'4", I think they said, yeah. I mean,
6'4", practically the same thing.
First shot Tulane basketball's hit in a bunch of years. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to let that be. Greg, I want that to be the end of the story.
How about the end of the show? Just like the end of our time with Comedy Central. Just end it right here.
No, because we still have
ad copy.
All right. One more time. I can't wait. I hope Manscaped follows us. I think if we left Comedy Central, Manscaped would leave with us because they're basically part of the show. If you've been listening to our show, stuck inside your house with your significant other, you know that Manscaped can help you out and make the most of your time together by promoting clean hygiene when it comes to shaving your balls. That's right. It's time to quarantine Manscaped and chill. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. It's forever changing the grooming game with the Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. This third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade. You want the best blade possible to prevent manscaping accident. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. And don't forget about the Crop Preserver. I know you tried to forget about it. Do not forget. An anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You put the deodorant in your armpits, you should put it elsewhere. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer every 3 months. And for a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. You want to get your lady excited? Show her some of those Manscaped Boxer Briefs and show them your Manscaped, what's going on underneath. This is ridiculous. Get 20% off with the code Vanity at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code Vanity. Help your relationship out during this quarantine. Your partner, your body, and your balls will thank you.
And that was
ad copy.
Greg's first time reading it, apparently. Episode 70. Remember how long it took him to get us ads in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
What episode did we have an ad by? We were like in the 30s or something. It was nuts.
Yeah, it was like the last week.
Now we've got three a week. We're loaded. Week.
Yeah, I'm canceling the last story. This is my punishment to come. This is my like, you know what? I'm feeling a little frisky. I'm just going to kill the last one. Oh, that's knocked my mic over. I'm going to kill the last story. What were your guys' greatest moments?
I think he's knocking
tighten the knobs on the side. Yeah, there you go.
Microphone over. I mean, come on.
Favorite moment of
the fans. The fans
two.
Want the story. The fans want the story.
No, they don't. I already put the kibosh on it. What's your favorite moment of season two?
Ooh, Erica, why don't you want to start?
My favorite moment. It's all like blending together. I think I really liked. Right before we started social distancing, I really liked when we were all together at Anthony's place. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Greg, do you have one?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. What am I? I'm an idiot. You go first, then I'll think of one.
A Renner concert. The NFL sponsored Renner concert. It wasn't, I mean, we talked about it on the podcast, but it was like, but just that, like, it felt like we were doing the podcast and also. Just being friends, you know, just being together and sharing experiences with Jeremy Renner.
We did that interview about your penis. That was interesting.
That was a good one.
Where you just
that's
like
your good, that's your good.
Where too. You just like answered every answered your question with that. I like talking about.
No, you did. That was your answer. That was your answer.
How about the Erica, song now that the it's guy time made for, based on Walker's?
Now it's time song for.
Choo wait, choo.
Recommendation station. Greg liked the interview with my penis. This is our last recommendation of the year, Greg. What do you what do you want to recommend?
Well, at the end of last season, we sort of like decided on a an official like author / book of season one with Comedy Central of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Jeremy
B. Junior Vice
Otessa?
President. And
Otessa?
That was Otessa. And so I was thinking
she's got a new book coming out in August.
Yeah.
I keep seeing press about it, and I'm like, I'm excited to get it, and I'm like, oh no, not till August. Fuck you.
I've got a copy. One of our You're listeners kidding. Sent it to you. Send it to me. I'll send it to you if you
Please.
Want it.
I do.
So I was thinking we should decide on, or at least I'd like to pick one. And I've got two candidates. It's either Jenny Offel, who wrote Weather, which you recommended. So I haven't on the podcast, but I have since read it and it blew my mind. It is one of my favorite books I've read in a long time, and she's now two for two with her last two. So I'm a big Jenny Offel Weather fan. She could be it. Or Ben Lerner, who did the Topeka School, who did Leaving for the Atocha Station, which I loved, was one of my favorite books. And now I'm reading 1004, his second book, which is awesome. So it's more just like giving these two a little extra love. Maybe you can decide, Anthony, on who wins the official season two author of our podcast.
I'm going to give it to, and I've read two books by Ben Lerner, and I've read all the books by Jenny Offel. I'm going to give it to Jenny Offel because even though I think I may have recommended Department of Speculation last season, I'm going to say I'm going to give it to her this week. Just more, I think she won it more than Lerner lost it. But I'm looking forward to seeing who's there next week. So, yeah, I'll give it to Jenny Offel. Everyone check out Weather, especially now. People I've recommended yes. that book to are like, you read it now and you're like, holy shit, she's seeing into the future. So, yeah, check that out. Do you have like a recommendation, though, you want to recommend?
I will then. Okay, if I get another free one. I'm going to recommend The Yellow House by Sarah Broom. It's a memoir of someone who grew up in New Orleans East. It won the National Book Award last year. For nonfiction. I love books about New Orleans, but it's sort of like a part of New Orleans that no one ever even like considers part of New Orleans, which is largely what it's about. And she's an amazing writer. Her family story is wild. If you're into memoirs, I think you're gonna like it, but it's sort of more than a memoir. It's a history. It's a lot about New Orleans. Like it goes deep, and she's a great writer.
Great. What's it? Yellow House?
Sarah Broom, Yellow House. I think it's still in hardcover, but yeah, won the National Book Award last year.
Cool. Erica, you got anything for us this week?
Just want to double down on your recommendation. I think you'd recommended it, but Anthony, you gave it to me last time I was at your house, The Secret History by Donna Tartt. And I finished it. It's like a 560-page book, so I'm super proud. And I just really, really loved it. I read the whole thing. And I've been kind of putting all my time into that, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I really like when people tell me how long a book they read was. I just think it's so
fun. Well, for me, that's
all
like,
your time into it. I mean,
well, that it took me a long time. It took me what, a month?
What are the chances I get that book back?
I mean, once they open up the streets,
in prime condition. Do you fuck books up? Do you like bend them up and,
no.
and do stupid stuff? Okay.
No.
I already bought a copy of the book that I gave to or lent it to Erica once. But it's
which
fine.
One? This That's one, a, My Brilliant Friend?
No, different one. That was a present. Oh. That was a present. Secret History, by the way, was the first ever recommendation I had on RJVP. So how about that?
That's I loved it.
My recommendation is a book of short stories. They're all kind of about, you know, this age of social media in one way or another. They're called You Will Never Be Forgotten by Mary South. I forget where I read about this book, but I just finished it yesterday. Great short story. She's a great writer, and they all kind of have to deal with, you know, social media. Is it a good thing or a bad thing, but how does it affect our lives as it evolves and as we evolve? So that is my recommendation. Mary South, You Will Never Be Forgotten. I think we've killed it this year, recommendation wise. And now that episode 70 is over and we are finished for now, we will rise from the ashes like the mighty phoenix and fly again one day. If you follow me or Greg on Twitter, we'll certainly be announcing what happens with the podcast. And it might just show up in your feed. We don't know. But we've had a blast doing this for 70 episodes. Thank you to everyone at the network who's still there and the people who aren't there. We've lost some soldiers. There are people I used to make fun of on this podcast who no longer have jobs. Thank you for helping us with everything. We've appreciated working with you. It's been better than expected. And I hope everyone lands on their feet and that we'll never work together again. That ship has sailed. But I wish you guys nothing but the best. So thank you, everyone. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to the network. And thank you to Greg and Erica. Do you guys have anything you want to say before we have the kids get us out of here?
It'd be really funny if Comedy Central just came back with like a totally great offer, and then we're just like back next week with Comedy Central after this.
I would have no problem. I mean, listen, the fact that the sound quality improved like 80% when we got out of a professionally brand new studio and went around my fucking dining room table lets me know some things. So I look forward to doing this again, hopefully in person. But yeah, I can't believe we put up with that studio as long as we did.
No, I will. I will miss. I do appreciate Comedy Central, you know, giving us a chance, letting us jump on the coattails of Anthony's TV deal. And if this is it for Comedy Central, you know, it's been fun. But we're not dying. This podcast lives. We're like a really talented player that coaches get sick of after a few years, and then we move on to a new team. We're like Terrell Owens. We're going to the Hall of Fame.
That's not at all what happened. That's not at all. No one was sick of us. We're the crown jewel.
Not the NFL. You're thinking of the NFL. Yeah, that's true.
Shout out to Dara Frank, out of wherever she is now. Rest in peace, Dara Frank. Shout out to Jeremy Westfall. Thanks for the book. Thanks for everything you gave us. Shout out to Ann Harris, the one person I know who still has a job there. Shout out to Jordy. Shout out to Jordy. Oh, yeah. I hope you're listening to this from home. Thank you so much, Jordy. I'm sorry you lost your job, but you got much further along than anyone ever would have expected if you had known you 15 years ago. So good on you. Erica, anything you want to say before we pull out of here?
No, just love you guys and hope we will continue. So hang
we
tight.
Will. I promised 100. I'm going to give you guys 100, even if I got to do it myself. If we got to sell the ads ourselves out of the trunk of a car, we're going to get to 100 episodes. Hopefully we get to a place that does all that for us and we go 100 and beyond. I want to be doing episode 200 pissing on Comedy Central's gravestone the whole time. I'm going to have to drink so much water and it'll be a shorter episode than normal and I'll have to pace myself, but I will do it. Episode 200.
It'll just be like a sound of urine hitting the ground for like 2.5 minutes or something.
I'll be talking while it's happening. You can hear it kind of in the background, but I have to kind of like do breath control. You know what I mean? It won't be the best episode, but it will be the only one that features a constant stream of urination.
I feel like this is going to become a movement here. The listeners that we do have are just going to be pushing us. Make it to 200. Make it to the Anthony Pisses on the Grave episode. Like, that's going to be the rallying cry. And we are going to make it to 200.
I could walk over to Viacom right now and just piss all over everything. What would they even do? Security guard knows me. He knows what I'm about. but no, this is not a sad day. We will do more. And we'll talk to you guys. We'll talk to you guys in a week, maybe in a couple weeks. And now, Paige and Ellis, get us out of here.
Buongiorno, frittato. That's a spicy meatball.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.